From hot air to the power of steam, now nothing stands in the way of progress on the open road.
I think I'd better tell you a story about another creature who's a lot like you.
You mean perfect? Hot, ripped, and buffed? Veggie fruit, fruit, veggie, veggie fruit, fruit.
Veggie fruit, fruit, veggie, veggie fruit. Here in Florida, we have something special, the blessing of Psi. There's enough land here to hold all the ideas and plans we could possibly imagine.
WDW Radio, your information station.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 410 for the week of June 29th, 2015. I'm here to help you have the best possible Disney vacation experience and bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are with this podcast, videos, blog, live broadcasts, special events, books, tours, and more. Whether you're planning your first trip or you love digging down into the secrets, history, details, and more, there's something here for you. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes and find everything else at wdwradio.com. This week, I invite you to travel with us into Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom and a vista into the world of wondrous ideas, signifying man's achievements. A step into the future with predictions of constructive things to come as we virtually explore this futuristic city and share our top 10 things we love about Tomorrowland. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week and pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Then stay tuned to the end of the show as I'll have more information about upcoming meets of the month and on the road in Texas this summer, as well as more of your voicemails. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Like Walt Disney, I am very much an optimist, and I believe in a positive view of the future. I think that kind of sounds like Whitney Houston, but I do really believe the children are the future, too. But it's really no surprise, then, that Tomorrowland is one of my favorite lands in the Magic Kingdom, definitely within my top seven. And it has been since the early days of the white pylons and the very few futuristic attractions, or attractions at all for that matter. But from If You Had Wings to Flight to the Moon to, again, there wasn't there a lot there very early on, but I always loved the theming and that sort of Star Trek-like vision of a future that was just a little bit better and maybe even a little brighter than the time that we're living in. And Walt Disney himself wasn't just a futurist, but he was an optimist, and so am I. And so to coincide with the release of the Tomorrowland movie and my Tomorrowland audio tour, which has only been 6 years in the making, I thought it would be an appropriate time to step into this world of tomorrow and take a look at our top 10-ish things we love about Tomorrowland. And joining me this week is a man who loves the Leonard Burdenstar Orchestra, misses all nine eyes, believes that once you've taken a dream flight, you'll know it's the most wonderful flight of your life, and that the best way to learn about the world is through a stereoscope. He is, of course, Mr. I use that loosely, Tim Foster from Celebrations Magazine. Welcome to the future, my friend.
Why, thank you, and congratulations, Lou, on setting a record for stealing four of my ideas in your opening soliloquy. Right out of the gate. Good night, well, folks.
I actually, you know, as long as we're talking about Tomorrowland, the audio tour, I should thank you.
Hey, we're on the subject.
As long as I'm going to segue into Tomorrowland, the audio tour, I need to thank you, Mr. Timmy Foster, because yes. Once again, you knock it out of the park by doing an amazing job on the cover and interior artwork and logos for that. And I think all the audio tours, except maybe one or two. So thank you. Beautiful stuff.
The when you look at the collection, the two really nice looking ones, those weren't mine. Those were.
you're a talented man. You may not do very well on top tens, but stick to your day job because
stick to the day job. I'm good. I'm good, but I'm not cheap. As you know.
So you know, I think you have a vague idea of exactly where Tomorrowland is in Magic Kingdom, yeah?
I thought it was in Epcot.
Close. It's near the big ball. So here's a question for you, though. Have you been to Tomorrowland?
Tomorrowland at all in my life?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Have you been to Tomorrowland at Disneyland?
Yes.
Do you have a preference? One, and it's not a competition because I think they both have things that make them individually and collectively awesome. But do you, when you think of Tomorrowland, is it you think of Walt Disney World? You think of Disneyland? Is there one that you sort of like more than the other?
Well, Walt Disney World. I've admittedly been to Disneyland once, and my memory of Tomorrowland was eating a hot dog and watching the monorail. No, and getting a really crummy score on Buzz Lightyear because it's totally different than all the cheating that I'm used to being able to do in Florida. So that kind of maybe that soured it for me.
So you like it less because you can't cheat?
No, I like it more. Actually, I think we. That was probably our first stop, actually, in Disneyland. We were out for D23 several years back, which you might remember. Yeah. So I probably breezed through it and didn't really give it as much attention as I would like to. So probably on the list of things, first things I would see if I were to go back. So I can't make the call. I got to say incomplete.
Dude, like Jack said to Kate in Lost, we have to go back. Me and you, like a little, like a little buddy comedy. We'll do like a buddy comedy and go out to Disneyland together.
Jack and wasn't that Titanic? I'm sorry.
Never mind.
Wait, we went on the Finding Nemo. Wait, that's in Tomorrowland, right?
You're making my brain hurt. I will say then, look, I'm a Walt Disney World guy, but I love me some Disneyland. And I will tell you, man, I think that the Disneyland version of Space Mountain, dare I say, better than Walt Disney World?
Really?
Yeah. I think that we have a better post-show area. I dig sort of the moving walkway and the little vignettes and all the cool sort of post, you know, being sort of in a futuristic sort of spaceport kind of idea. But the actual on-ride itself and the speakers and the soundtrack and Ghost Galaxy, I love me some Disneyland Space Mountain.
Wow. Then that's on our buddy list then.
It's awesome.
Just hold my hand through the upside down.
And then when we're done, we go get chimichangas and the chili lime corn by the Matterhorn and then hop on the Matterhorn too.
Ooh.
Oh, it's awesome. I will take you on a culinary adventure that you have never seen. But look, we are here to talk about Tomorrowland.
Wait. What was that? 4 minutes. I was keeping a track of food mention.
Yeah, it didn't take very long.
No, he didn't. I think in 5 minutes.
So, you know...
I'm sorry.
I said at the beginning, I really do love Tomorrowland, and I love Tomorrowland at night. Like, I forget that. I'm going to make that one of our top tens. But there's a lot of things I really miss about Tomorrowland. You know, deep down, man, I'm a fan first. I'm a nostalgic. But I really do miss... If You Had Wings and Flight to the Moon and the.
Wait, are
the
we starting or are you.
I'm just waxing. I'm just sort of waxing.
What, so don't wax on your own time. This is a fan.
Well, this is sort of like a top 10 things. Top 10 things I miss about Tomorrowland is maybe a different one. So, all right, before I steal more of yours, because clearly you are woefully unprepared.
Well, you might as well just keep talking because my list is gone now.
All right, I'll start off by asking you this, and see where it goes, and then you can start with
thinking.
What do you miss most about Tomorrowland?
I miss, and it's sort of one of my things, which I'll get to. The previous Tomorrowland Transit Authority narration preceding the current one, which I'll get into why later.
No problem. Well, please begin. Begin our list.
Alien encounter. I miss Alien.
Okay, you actually went on, like you didn't actually do Chicken Exit for that because that's
no,
so
I
not
loved
in your
it.
Wheelhouse.
I loved. I know, and I loved it.
You are.
I didn't
conundrum wrapped in an enigma wrapped in a conundrum, because you take the chicken exit for every other attraction, yet you liked the most horrifying attraction in Walt Disney World history.
I've taken the chicken exit in Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor because they wanted me to dance. There's no way. So I snuck out of there. I will say it's historic, and I'm just waxing here. This is one of my things. The very first time I was in Walt Disney World as a wee young bab in its first year, one of the few things I remember, aside from thinking we had to climb out of the Haunted Mansion literally on a tree, which I think I've said that before, but I remember being on a flight to the moon, and it's one of the few things I remember. So there you go. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
All right.
That's all.
Well, then please begin your list about the things that you love, the things that get you excited about Tomorrowland, the thing that really sort of gets little Timmy Foster happy.
Well, let me see. You know, these are all, I think, mine mostly are going to revolve around the historic, nostalgic bent. But I'm going to start with one. This is kind of a two for one. And these are little things. And really, this is speaking to I love the detail that you can find throughout all of Tomorrowland. Now, granted, we can say that about anywhere in Walt Disney World, but in Tomorrowland, it holds true just as much as it does everywhere else. And I'm not going to go down. I'm going to, unlike you, who would probably rattle off 37 things right now to illustrate your point, I'm just going to pick two things that I think are really, really cool. One most people know about, I'm sure. The other, I'm not so sure many people know about it. And they're historic references to the yesterday of Tomorrowland, stuff you can find all throughout the parks, references to old attractions, to significant dates and whatnot. And the first one, which I think, again, I'm sure most people are familiar with, but on Space Mountain, or on to the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, to be more specific, as you go through Space Mountain, you'll see a sign for Starport 75, which, as we all know, is a reference to the year 1975 when Space Mountain opened. And it's little tributes like that, which if you're a first-time visitor, someone who's not into the history, the detail, you might not pick up on that. But even if itself, it's a cool, put you in the moment, put you in the location, the time of being in the future of Tomorrowland. But it has meaning behind it to those in the know. And again, that was the one most people know about. The one I kind of discovered not too long ago, I'm not sure most people know about this one, is in Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, which at the exit area, if you look closely in the murals on the wall, you can see a little tiny Stitch escaping on his spaceship, presumably from your favorite attraction, Lou Mangello, Stitch's Great Escape Across the Way, which I know is on your list, so I'm not going to steal that one from you. But the cool thing about Stitch, not only that he's there and he's used to find hidden Mickeys, but there's a hidden Stitch. But there's a very cryptic inscription on his spaceship. And if you pay attention in Stitch's Great Escape, you'll see all the signs are translated into a second alien language. And by much sleuthing and guessing, you can figure out that the number on – it's a number on the ship is 72, which your first thought was, well, see, the Magic Kingdom opened 1971. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you remember that the actual building that Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin is in, which started with, as you noted, if you had wings going to If You Could Fly, then Delta Dream Flight and so forth, that opened in what year? 1972. So there you go. Stitch provides a little tribute to the history of the attraction building. And there's just a couple little hidden tributes to old things in the history of Tomorrowland. I think it's funny we talk about history and nostalgia in Tomorrowland, but there you go.
So. I gotta tell you, I'm gonna give you a little bit of advice. You
what?
Need to drop them. You need to drop the mic and walk off stage, dude. I loved it. I love that. I was expecting a go with me here, something completely ridiculous. How you got wet on Astro Orbiter? Right. I dig, look, dude, you know me, man. That's where I got, like, I started with the trivia and the details. I love it. I dig it. And you sort of actually touch on one of the things that I'm going to talk about a little bit later on in terms of story. Just, you're done. You're done.
I'm done.
You can't go anywhere but downhill.
That's the only one I had left.
So, you know what? I'm actually happy that you started off with a home run there, because I'm going to do something different. Sometimes I like to try and save, you know, you want to sort of end on a very climactic note, right? But, and I save sometimes the one that I like best for the end. But I'm going to start off with the thing that I love about Tomorrowland, possibly the most. And it is a little bit sort of esoteric, because it's not a thing per se. And it really is just two words, and it's Walt's imprint. What I mean by that is, we talk about where Walt walked. We talk about Walt's influence, the things that Walt actually physically touched. Walt's imprint is so visible. It's so profound. It's so deep in Tomorrowland. And I don't just mean in the People Mover. I don't just mean in the Skyway and Carousel of Progress, but in terms of what Tomorrowland is and how closely connected it is to Walt Disney himself, right? He believed, you know, I talked about this before, he talked and believed about, you know, science factual and not science fictional, and this realistic options for space travel and future advancements and communication and technology and transportation. And he, you know, on his TV shows like Man in Space back in 1955 and some of the other real world projects he did, show that he wanted to bring to life in sort of a 3D form, not just his fantasy stories in Fantasyland and things that he had shown on film in terms of fairy tales, but he wanted guests to be a part of this wonderful age of tomorrow, right? They felt that science was just on the brink of making incredible discoveries that were going to benefit not just his generation, but their children and generations to come. And the attractions were really designed, and I'm sort of paraphrasing Walt, they were designed to give you an opportunity to participate in adventures that are really going to be a blueprint of the future, right? So to him, Tomorrowland almost in certain ways represented a city of the future, right? Well, you know, 1986 was the future back then, but it wasn't about flying saucers or aliens and things like that. And I mentioned a couple of attractions, you know, Carousel of Progress. You know how deeply Walt was involved and connected to that. The Skyway, you know, the Skyway was nothing futuristic, but Walt wanted it in. He thought about it as a transportation system, just like the People Mover, right? And I'll talk more about the People Mover, but, you know, the People Mover wasn't just an attraction. It was almost sort of a beta test to see how this transportation system would work. Space Mountain was a Walt Disney idea that unfortunately took after his death before they were able to execute on what his vision was. So we talk about places like Main Street USA or Liberty Square, but Walt's imprint runs very, very deep and will continue to run deep, you know, pardon the accidental pun, into the future of this land.
Can we just stop right now?
I think we're done. I think we're done here. That's it. We got nothing
I got
else
nothing.
To say.
No, that was wonderful. That was fantastic. Hold on. I'm
Are
crying.
You wiping away a tear?
I'm wiping away a tear.
Dude, I love me some Walt Disney, man.
I love. We all love us some Walt Disney.
We love Walt, so.
You know, you made me think, though, this wasn't so much a thing on my list, but you made me think of it. And I'm really winging this one. So this is a definitely go with me.
this could be a
real train wreck by the time I get to the end, because I don't know where I'm going with this, but. I think I'm kind of touching on what you said, and I'm thinking about all these things. I think the concept, one of the things I like about Tomorrowland is the concept of it in it being a vision of not just the future in science fiction, not about that so much, but about progress and where we're going tomorrow as people. As a society, and how we're going to live and how cities are going to be built. And I think as you go through Tomorrowland, you pay attention, you really pick up on these things, like from right off from seeing the model of Epcot on the People Mover and just imagining what it would be like. And you can see the vision of, you know, the monorails and the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Movers that we more or less see as attractions now, but how they were how Walt Disney intended them to be, as you said, honest to goodness transportation systems in this city. And you think to the even over to the contemporary resort and the monorail going through it, and that maybe being part of the vision of what it could be. Walking through Tomorrowland, seeing the signs that all speak to the backstory, which I'm going to try and get to later on, but that really puts you in the fictional futuristic world of Tomorrowland. But things like having signs for the Tomorrowland Towers Hover Hotel with, you know, I just want to live there. But everything you're seeing is kind of showing you its glimpses into a possible future. Is it science fiction? Some of it, yeah. But a lot of it, like you said, stemmed from Walt Disney's honest to goodness vision of what he saw was the future and progress and everything else. So I'm not quite sure I'm heading with that, but you get a gist of what I'm saying, right? See? Yeah, you can almost imagine as you're walking through, and if you let yourself be immersed in the backstory and reading the signs and looking at the different details around you, that you can imagine what it would be like to live in Epcot if it were ever to have come to be for real. You see a little glimpse of what it could be and bigger visions of, well, monorail could have been that. The people mover could have been that. There's a big, really cool hotel the monorail goes to. Imagine if that all had come to pass. And just another reminder, poignant reminder, you know, what could Walt have done with all of those dreams that he still had in his mind, and what could have been. So.
Are you done?
I think so.
Okay. Because the whole time you were doing that, you actually made me think about something else. You made me think about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
That was a good story.
I like me. My wife likes me. I'm only kidding. No, that was a great story. I mean, I don't know what it really meant in the grand scheme of things.
I love the Epcot model, okay? That's what it was.
No, you actually touched on a couple of things that are sort of entries on my list, right? So, and actually, you're going to lead me into another one, which is the TTA. And I know it's on your list, so we can sort of make this a little bit more conversational. Look, Tim, I think we could possibly do a top 10 things we love about the TTA. And in true top 10 form, my list would have many more than just 10, right? Because true. I love the views. I love the repeatability factor. I love the Progress Land model. I love the music. Like, I literally sometimes have ridden the TTA and closed my eyes because it's not about what you see. It's about what you hear. I like listening to the overhead narration. I like listening to the sounds of the crowds. I like listening to the changes in the music and then the pitch blackness of Space Mountain, except if you ride it really at the end of the night when you turn the lights on. When you hear the screams and the wheels and the track, that you could ride it backwards and forwards and there's never a crowd and it's relaxing and slow moving and anybody can ride it in any type of weather. And at night, I think it's, you know, like many other attractions, it's a completely different attraction at night. Again, it's got the connection to Walt, right? Walt's plans for Epcot included monorails and people movers as really the primary mode of transportation. Like, this was going to be sort of a test bed to a certain degree of what this transportation system was going to be in Epcot and how it differs from the one in Disneyland. You know, they use linear induction here as opposed to the rotating tires in the Disneyland version. So it is a little bit more futuristic, right? Using this electricity and the linear induction and the steel plates. And so there's a lot that I love about it. Like you, I miss, and I can't call it the original narration, right? Because because for a while, you know, the ORAC one, the commuter computer was on there, but the very, very first original narration is very much like the one that we have now. It is sort of one that introduces you to the things that you see on there, right? Because that's what the Tomorrowland, the People Mover was supposed to do, was giving you a glimpse, like they did in Disneyland, giving you a glimpse of these new attractions in this redesigned land. Well, here in Walt Disney World, it was the same thing. It was sort of like a showcase of the attractions that you're going to see. That being said, I totally miss and love and can almost recite word for word the narration that I think so many of us are so familiar with, right? Paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow, keep your forward-facing tentacles inside the vehicle, the red line and the blue line and the green line, and that sort of will lead me to talk about the story of Tomorrowland a little bit more. But I could ride, and people ask me all the time, like, what's your favorite attraction in Magic Kingdom? When I go to the parks lot, I'm not going to ride attractions, but 9 times out of 10, if I'm going to Magic Kingdom, I will get at least one ride in on the TTA.
I agree.
That's it. That's all you got is I agree.
That's all I got. That's Well, I'm going to refute your point.
Oh.
Here. Yeah.
So you hate the TTA.
Nah, I can't. They'd need to rip that out.
What?
It's a waste of space.
Stop it.
No, I'm with you. That's a must go. And I was thinking of my favorite moments from the narration prior to the current one. And basically, that's the one I more or less grew up with. So,
Welcome aboard, DTA Travelers.
I remember. Well, actually, one of the funnest thing.
Did you say funnest? Did you say funnest?
Funnest.
Aye.
Funnest.
Where'd you go most to school?
Radnor High School, folks. That's a Philadelphia education.
There you go.
One of the coolest things I liked about the old narration was how much that it immersed you into the backstory, which I'll know is on your list. I'm going to leave it to you, but again, just like it filled with detail that you might not even pick up on. We could probably pick our favorite parts of the narration. You actually almost stumbled on mine, besides the party from Saturn, which is a classic. But I always like the attention all visitors from Galaxy M31. Please keep your forward facing tentacles clear of oncoming Metroliner vehicles. Thank you. And I thought it particularly cool as someone who was always into astronomy and stuff that it's not just a random made up throwaway name that they just came up with. Galaxy M31 is, of course, the Andromeda Galaxy, for real, in real life, Lou Mangello, which is a real thing up in the sky that you can see. And it's just dropping into those little details, in this case real, or in a lot of cases fictional, with the red, the green, and the blue lines and hoverburbs and all that sort of stuff. But again, just all that detail that it really immerses you into the story of Tomorrowland. And that's really why I miss that narration the most, because first thing I do in Tomorrowland would go on the TTA and it would just get you in the mood. It put you into the moment, into the place where you are to be. And you escaped to the future of Tomorrowland. You know, just like we go to Adventureland, you escape to the exotic depths of the jungle and so forth. This really took you away to another place and literally another time too, and the TTA narration did that so much for me, and I miss it, but I'm getting used to the new one. So,
yeah, and again, I'm not trying to sort of
I'm not trying to diss it, but
no, and I'm not trying to jump ahead too to something else I want to talk about too, but I think a lot of us too, we have there's a sentimental attachment, right? Because we do remember the whether a humanoid, robot, or alien passenger, we hope you enjoy your trip along the Tomorrowland Transit Authority's Super Skyway.
Wow. And
that was awful, but it was, you know.
No, that was fantastic.
But it really did tie into the backstory of Tomorrowland, and that is on my list, so I'll touch on that some more, because I think when we lost the narration, we lost a lot of what that backstory was. Maybe, as we look towards the future, we're starting to get away from it. But
yeah. I want to tell you really quick, though. I do agree. The one thing I like, among the many things about the TTA that I still like to call it, is the fact that you can go anytime. Just hop on, go for a ride, go for two rides, go for three. I will tell you that I was there over Memorial Day weekend, and I was there on the 24-hour Disney Insane-a-thon, which...
Insane-a-thon.
Yeah, I had a wonderful time. It was a blast. It was fantastic. Me and I think it was 250,000 of my closest Disney friends. A half hour wait to get on the TTA.
Oy.
Just never seen that in my life.
Wow.
A wait at all. Like it was so, their line was so long. It wasn't a line after a while. It just kind of meandered out into Tomorrowland, and they had cast members with flags trying to signify where the end of the line was. And at one point I saw there were two ends of the line and neither one was clear which really was the end of the line. But
yeah, when you see a line for when they're queuing TTA and there's a guy at the end with the flag, you know the park is busy.
Yeah, or it broke down. I think we got hit with it was busy and I could see it had also broken down. So it was a double whammy, but still well worth it. But not a good time to give the old, you know, hey, can I go around one more time when you pulled into the station? Because there's people waiting for once. But it was a blast. Anyway, back to you. I stole your next one.
Oh, is it back to me? I didn't realize that was.
Yeah, you just pontificated on my wonderful entry, and you know.
Well, so all right, so I mean,
stole my what I thought.
Our list is very loose because a lot of these really are. One is sort of leading into or playing off the last. And so I will talk about what I touched on earlier, which is I love, or maybe it has to be past tense, loved the backstory of Tomorrowland. And it was really interesting, especially as I started to research more into doing the books and the audio tours, just how deep and detailed the backstory of Tomorrowland is. Because look, it really is meant to be like Main Street USA, a real working, bustling town where humans and aliens and robots all live happily, like cats and dogs living together in this town. And look, it is very much like Main Street USA. It's like the entrance to Liberty Square, that main thoroughfare that takes you into sort of the town center, that the avenues of the planet. Has its chambers of commerce, right? The Tomorrowland Chamber of Commerce. There is the League of Planets and the Loyal Order of Little Green Beings. And the more that you start to look around and see the details, it starts to piece a lot of that story together. And even as you enter, much like when you enter Magic Kingdom, you see coming attraction posters, right? And I mentioned Leonard Burdenstar and the Martian Pops Orchestra and the Space Home and Garden Show and the Antique Rocket Show. And as you start to see these details and connect the dots, you realize that Tomorrowland is not restricted to what you see as you walk through the land, but there really is this much larger world and community that you can experience as you go through your visit, right? Whether you go into an attraction, go on the Astro Orbiter, go to this museum that is the Carousel of Progress, or go on the TTA and possibly take one of the other lines out to the hoverburbs. Is that story potentially starting to get lost or change? Maybe. I think that there is a... I think Tomorrowland is going to change in the next few years. But I love the fact that the story is there. And this is not meant to sound like a plug for the audio tour, but that really is what I try and do on the tours, is help you not sort of explain everything, but help you connect those dots and realize the things that are there to help you recognize a story. And then all of a sudden you're like, I get it. Like, I understand why Astro Orbiter's here. I understand why that detail is here. I understand what this is supposed to mean, why that globe is there in the center of Tomorrowland, what it means and what it represents and how it connects to the payphone booth behind it, as well as the details on top of Stitch's Great Escape that, like you said, relate back to things that are going on over in Buzz Lightyear.
Why, you killed my list there. That was fantastic.
I get excited. I'm sorry. I get excited.
I know. You're like a little kid in a candy shop.
I am. Listen, man, I am a 7-year-old kid trapped in a 40-year-old body. So...
Yeah, you kill. All right, you said marble ball. You did.
I think
sphere,
I said
sphere. Sphere.
Sphere.
Yeah. I like that there's a little Cinderella castle on it, if you look hard enough. That's my next one. Go. You're up.
That's it. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
You're not going to talk more about what you're referring to or where it is or what this thing really is. Because, look, man, the devil's
so
in the details.
So as you're walking down the avenue of the planets into the heart of Tomorrowland, you may notice a large marble sphere perked majestically off towards the pathway towards Fantasyland. or the other side. I forget where it is. But anyway, if you spin it around, you'll find that it's actually supported by a high pressurized jet of water that if you took the marble sphere off would jet 10 miles into the air. I kid you not, Lou Mangiello. But if you spin it around enough and you see all the stars and constellations, you'll see there's a little Cinderella castle on there. There, is that more eloquent? Was that better?
I just like the fact that it's a map. That's I was trying to lead you in, man. It's a map.
Is that what that was? I don't know. I just spin it around, see how fast I can make it go.
Well, and the interesting thing too is it's a map. It's a sphere of the galaxy. And look, there's a like you said, there's a Cinderella castle. There's a Route 66. I'm happy to see it's still going on. There is the five from out in Anaheim. But it is, and it's funny that things like that. Like you need to have a physical map, or even better yet, as long as we're talking about things like backstory and details, the Metrophone booth that's right near there, which was actually used to be one of two, like in the vision of the future, they can see all these great, fantastic things. You could be teleported and transported and rocketed here and there, but you're still going to go and pick up a newspaper and like need a telephone booth. They never would have imagined a cell phone in the future.
Who would have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? So,
as we're taking pictures of it with our phones.
Exactly. It's so meta. Like, oh, it's so meta.
And actually, I held my hand up there like I was doing it as if everyone out there could see what I was. Apologize for that. So
you know what? That's actually one of my other things on my list. Like, in addition to things like the sphere, the globe, the map, whatever it is, I love the robot newsboy. Like, I love the Metrophone booth because it is all connected to this sort of galactic communications network. So if you go to, I can't even call it the queue, the entrance to the People Mover, you may have never even noticed the robo news vendor that's giving you up to the minute news. Again, not on your mobile device, but you actually have to go and buy a physical paper. But if you really take the time to look or listen to the audio tour, you'll see that there is a tribute to the original newspaper that used to be there that actually referred to the old XS teleportation demo, which was there before Stitch's Great Escape came in 2004. And now it talks about, you know, Stitch escapes and you know, what's going on. But it is written in that funky, stitchy little language. And it's cool, man. I dig the details because all it... Listen, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's all connected. The Robo Newsboy is connected to the Metrophone booth, which is connected to the map, which is connected to stuff that's going on the screen at the Tomorrowland stage, Stitch's Supersonic Celebration, We Hardly Knew You, Rest in Peace. But all those details, all those stories are very, very, very intricately connected. And as you start to see them, you're like, oh, I get it. And they make reference to things like Nine-Eye, and they make reference to the Timekeeper. And I dig that about Disney, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so profound in your response. Yeah. So when you say yeah, does that mean you've got nothing else?
No, yeah means how could I possibly say that any better than you did? Well, like this. So... No, connecting the dots, it's all good. It's all great. It's all wonderful. It's funny because I think like every land you can say, and I don't know, we could talk about this. Like every other land in the Magic Kingdom, not even talking about the parks, you can talk about the same kinds of things, like all the little details, all the connections, all the connected dots. I don't know. Would you say Tomorrowland is the most, or was, particularly with the prior TTA narration, but maybe the most detailed or the most thought put into the backstory?
I think that
as or is that a hard? Go, that's a tough call.
No, I think no, because I think if you go through and you know, let's sort of use the take your time, look up, look down, you know, worry less about the attractions than the details. I mean, when you go and you see details at, you know, the Coca-Cola station on crates sitting out front that are just there. They're just sort of physical props. But if you look at the details on the crate and translate certain things and understand what it means and how it connects to not just, you know, real planet Earth, but to the story of Tomorrowland, and start putting all of the, you know, like what they really weaved the story together, I think, seamlessly in terms of making this feel like a real working spaceport that people live in. And I think that you're right. I think in terms of connecting all those dots together, I think it's done very, very well. It's very subtle. You got to work for it. Like, you got to really go look for it. But in terms of, you know, everything speaks in Tomorrowland.
Even the, well, yeah. Trash can.
The trash can.
No, they're not there anymore. But I don't see there still.
Too
Where's
soon.
Push?
Push is on vacation.
Push is on vacation.
Push is on vacation.
I miss Push. But I for the next one, get off of the history and detail for just a second, because I'm with you. But there is one thing about Tomorrowland, totally unrelated to its backstory, that I always thought was kind of cool, kind of a tip thing, and I wanted to share it with people. Because I actually ran across it on my last trip down there, which was pretty neat. As you're wandering through Tomorrowland, and it's about time for wishes to go off. One of the things I think is really cool. I mean, see Wishes in all of its full glory. You, of course, want to be on Main Street with the castle in front of you. But I did stumble upon, as you're making your way towards from Tomorrowland towards Fantasyland, and you go by Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe, and you're on that path, you actually get a really incredible view of Wishes right there. And the music's pumped in, and there's usually nobody there because nobody really thinks of going there, or they're on their way to Fantasyland to get a good spot. And as long as you get out of the way of the odd tree or two, I've been there a couple times, and it's really amazing to see Wishes from within Tomorrowland. It's kind of a different experience from when you're on Main Street and in front of the castle and seeing it as it's meant to be seen. But now you're in the retro future world of Tomorrowland and seeing Wishes. It's kind of a neat juxtaposition of eras or something cool like that. But guess what it's coming down to? That's a cool spot to watch Wishes if you don't happen to be at the on Main Street at the time. And by the way, go into Cosmic Race, get yourself some chicken nuggets and a bunch of ketchup, set down, have a good time. No one will bother you. You'll have a great view of the show. And you don't see all those, you know, pretty lights on the castle, but that's okay. You can see all the pretty lights in Tomorrowland. So
I do love me some Cosmic Ray.
I do. You love
and Cosmic his Space Ray. Angels. Who doesn't love the Space Angels?
Oh, my.
I was waiting for you to start to sing a little, you know, background. He's the biggest little star in the galaxy.
Oh, that.
Sorry. What I love about Cosmic Ray is this almost could have been on the list. I love
it is now.
It is now. I love the hidden stage.
Ooh.
Do you know about the hidden stage?
Of course, but please tell us, Lou, for those of us who don't know.
So go, if you stand outside Cosmic Ray's Starlight Cafe, which, you know, used to be the Tomorrowland Terrace, whatever. If you stand outside by the Tomorrowland Speedway, I'm almost able to reach the pedals on my own.
Ooh!
And look up at the corner. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you look up in the corner of the building, you'll see sort of a dome with a little bit of a spire on top. And you might think it's just there for aesthetic purposes, but what that's actually for is to accommodate the stage. Because there's actually two, not to spoil the magic, spoiler alert, there's actually two stages. So when you see Sunny Eclipse performing on sort of ground level, what used to happen, and it still happens sometimes during Christmas or some special events, there used to be a lot of live acts that used to perform. I mean, when I say live acts, like they had country western music, which I don't know why it fits in Tomorrowland.
Hey, what?
Yeah, remember Anne Murray?
Yes.
No, you don't.
The bird, the thing with the bird.
Wow.
Right?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Come on, people know. When you call in, back me up on
the bird.
You sang a song about.
There were bands like Tabasco. So there were bands that used to come and play, and the way that they would get onto the stage is that they would walk through the utilidors because there's another stage underneath. I'm using hand gestures as if you can see me. There's another stage underneath where Sunny Eclipse is. So they would walk in, set up, get all ready, and then the stage actually lifts up. So Sunny Eclipse and his little astro organ fit into that dome. You know, sort of the upper platform goes up into that dome. The performers do their little stage show. Goofy comes out, does whatever. That goes down back into the utilidors, and Sunny Eclipse is back on ground level. I dig the stage, man.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. That was very interesting. No, that was cool. I didn't know that. See, there's all these things people peel away the layers.
So do you have nothing left?
I had a food one, which is going to pale.
Wow. Look at you. Are you going to talk about handwiches? Dude, you bring around to handwiches, I'm going to give you a hug like there's nobody's business.
Let me talk to you about handwiches. Talk about a treat.
You never had a handwich.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Come on. Seriously?
I'm not going to take this moment away from you. You can talk about handwiches.
No, well, listen. Now you're gonna have to listen to the audio guide.
Well, of course.
Think of it as a beta version of a cozy cone.
A what?
Forget it. Just go on to your next one.
Is this funnel cake again?
Ay, stop it.
Well, I can't even say mine now because mine's stupid. You throw handwiches out there. How am I supposed to follow handwiches? Jeez.
Go ahead.
It's not turkey leg.
This one's going to be epic. I feel it. I feel this is going to be a good one.
It's not epic. It's
anti-gravities. Come on.
Is
it anti-gravity?
Anti-gravities, galactic goodies. You were going to say, what are the things I miss? And one of the things I miss was the mocha slushy thing. But you still get a mocha iced coffee float or a French vanilla iced coffee float and walking around. I guarantee you get one of those and you make your way towards Fantasyland. Brain freeze by the time you get to the Mad Tea Party, and there's no substitute for that. Now, tell me what a handwich is before I go crazy here.
Seriously? All right, so...
No, I'm setting you up.
So in Rocket Tower Plaza, right,
yeah.
Which is that the big spinny thing in the... So that used to be home to... So now it's the Lunching Pad. It used to be the Space Bar.
Oh.
And for a while... I think while it was sponsored by like Sun Giant, they had handwiches, and you can get them in a couple of places throughout the parks, including Fantasyland, which was basically a soft cone that had, you know, ham or turkey or tuna or chicken salad or vegetables. Because I think, again, the feeling was in the future, we're all going to be wearing, you know, gray spandex like Erin Gray and Buck Rogers and eating food out of cones. So... Yeah. That's hence the handwich. It was awesome. It was deliciousness. It was
ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was like Star Trek: The Original Series, ahead of its time.
That's right.
Like Walt Disney, ahead of his time.
That's Boom. Right. So, like this egg, ahead of its time.
Thank you. So I'm assuming now I'm really going to assume that you've got nothing left.
Let me see. Let me check the red. Checks mean you stole it. So one,
check,
two,
check.
Stolen. Mocha iced coffee. Got it. Signed. You already stole from me, which are cool. Now I want to mention that, but I'll go a little. I just want to follow up because it was one of the things on my list was the of all the detail and all the things you can see the signs and their sign and most people don't notice this and I. Honestly, I'll breeze past them myself once in a while. But as you're walking into Tomorrowland on the Avenue of the Planets and you have Stitch's Great Escape on one side, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor on the other side, there are signs up that you may not pay any attention to. And if you go and look at them, it's amazing. They speak to the backstory they're connecting the dots. They put you in that place. You mentioned a few. There's others, for a whole billboard for the recreational rocket vehicle show. One of my favorite ones is for the Space Collectibles Convention, with where you can taste tantalizing intergalactic food, which looks suspiciously like the TV dinners I used to have when I was a wee lad. Although they got like a Mickey Mouse shaped thing with onion rings on it. I don't know what that's supposed to be, but it's on the detail, like how detailed these signs are for these fictional but seemingly real places and real things. Like at this convention, you could register to win a trip for two aboard the Martian Princess space yacht. I mean, who thinks of stuff like that? But I want to bring those up specifically because they are scattered throughout Tomorrowland, particularly as you walk in from Main Street. And when you go by them, your tendency is to breeze by them to get to the attractions, because they are kind of out front before you get to all the good stuff, if you want to say that. But take a moment and look at them. And one, they're very cool. Two, they're very imaginative. And three, they right away they get you in that Tomorrowland story and make you feel like you're really in this bustling metropolitan robot alien galactic melange of Tomorrowland goodness.
Melange. Look at you.
Melange.
Oh, melange. So when you were talking about the signage, I actually thought you were going to talk about something that we've done on our top 10 before, because I think the signage in Walt Disney Tomorrowland, and we've talked about it because, and look, you are a creative, you're a designer. Me, I just love having 18,000 fonts on my computer.
You do, and you use them all in one email, which I love about you.
So I love the signage, and again, it's got that sort of very metallic, very sort of steampunk type of look and feel to it, which I love. So that sort of ties in a little bit, again, sort of completing the entire story, which will lead me into my final one. But I will tell you, this is going to be a twofer. I got to end off with a twofer.
Oh, wait, I'm throwing one more in there.
If you're gonna do a twofer. Knock yourself out.
This isn't even a thing. In general about Tomorrowland, I think it's the Tomorrowland we all know and love today, as we talked about, takes place in this fictional retro vision of the future. But I'm giving a kudos and hats off to the Imagineers who came up with this iteration of Tomorrowland, knowing that when it first came to be in Disneyland and in Walt Disney World, it was meant to be a vision of the future, like for real, what tomorrow was going to be like. And it was always difficult because once you were done, it was tomorrow and it didn't really match what you had. And what was contemporary all of a sudden was kind of passe or not making a whole lot of sense. So I think we all really should take a moment and appreciate the thought and imagination that went into the twist of Tomorrowland that we know today, that this isn't a projection of what the future is going to be for real. It's kind of a go back and see what visionaries of the past thought the future might be from a fantasy point of view, from a science fiction point of view. And make that the vision of Tomorrowland. And then that's where the backstory can come in with aliens and robots and hoverburbs and all these other things and space yachts and whatnot. And I think that whole reimaginationing, that's a word, of Tomorrowland when they did it was really truly astounding when you think of it, when you think of what the original vision of Tomorrowland was and how do you break out of it. And the solution they came up with was fantastic then. It's fantastic now. I hope it days on and on and on, and we'll see how it goes. But I think looking at Tomorrowland might just be one of the best examples of Imagineering in action, just from imagination creativity point of view, the whole thing.
I agree. And when they did their update in 1994, you know, they had to address the issue that they struggled with for 23 years, which was you're trying to create a vision of the future that was already out of date the day that it opened. We had been to the moon already, so right. Flight to the moon wasn't all that, you know, not like we're going every day, but flight to the moon was somewhat, okay, been there, done that. So by emphasizing not just advances in technology, but sort of connecting it to this story of day-to-day life of people in the future, I think that you're right. It focuses more on community than trying to predict the future. And I wonder if, and look, I'm, you know, as we're recording this in 2015, I just have a feeling that Tomorrowland is going to undergo a change in the future. I think there's going to be some additions to Tomorrowland. And you wonder if that storyline is going to remain, or do they start to look to places like Discoveryland in Paris and doing something that is maybe more on that Jules Verne, H.G. Wells sort of vision of the future and less about the story of community. That's the thing that's exciting, is you never know what direction they may take these things and adjust the story accordingly.
Exactly. But that's what makes Walt Disney World so cool. We never know what's coming next. But it will be fantastic.
I dig.
Now, since I stopped interrupting you.
No. Listen.
Carry on with your...
Just like Carousel, stop interrupting while she's interrupting.
yeah, I'm going
to
take it.
You know, there was a part of me that was going to say, this is where it's a twofer. One of the things I love about Tomorrowland is actually sort of not in Tomorrowland at all, because I think that the sort of hidden pathway to Storybook Circus is one of those little hidden gems that so many people, they either don't realize they can go there, and there's never, and you get beautiful views of the train. If you're a photographer, you get great, unique views of the train and Space Mountain, the TTA. It's a nice little shortcut. It's a relaxing little walk. But I think that the one that I'm going to end on is really the thing that I enjoy most about Tomorrowland. And again, researching and recording the guide really sort of made this much more pronounced for me. And just interestingly, Tim Foster, in this entire discussion, I don't think either one of us said, other than the TTA, we didn't talk about Space Mountain being our favorite, Carousel of Progress. We didn't talk about attractions. Right? We talked about sort of these conceptual things, these intangible things, the details. But the thing that I love in terms of details isn't what you necessarily take. Look, Disney World is a multi-sensory experience, and I love, and if you ever get a chance to do it, sit at the lunching pad or sit in the shade under by Monsters, Inc. and close your eyes and just listen. Listen to the sounds of Tomorrowland. Listen to the narration of the TTA overhead. Listen to the look. The music in Tomorrowland is some of my favorite anywhere. That Star Tunnel music, it's on my phone. I think it's some of the most beautiful music anywhere, right? And you hear it on the TTA as you go through Space Mountain. And it's funny because the original background music of Tomorrowland had a very 70s feel, right? It was it definitely was reflective of the fact that it was 1971, 72. But over time, and the current background music area is beautiful. And it has a lot of songs that aren't just for Tomorrowland, but songs that are familiar, right? So you'll recognize the Seize the Future music from Alien Encounter. You'll recognize stuff from maybe Timekeeper or Adventure Through Inner Space or even Strange Things from Toy Story. You might hear that outside. And I think the loop currently is maybe about an hour long, but I love the music of Tomorrowland. And look, and I'm very hyper aware of the background music because I pay such close attention to it as I prepare to record the guides and go through, and I spend hours and hours in the lands, you know, for days on end. But I really like how the story, how the music sort of evokes a unique feeling here, right? The same way that the steel drums and the Swiss polka do in Adventureland, and the American, you know, folk music in Frontierland, and the music of Liberty Square. But I there's something about it that's very sort of, it's very uplifting, it's very optimistic, and it's the sense that you can get even from the music of Tomorrowland. And I know maybe I'm you know, because I think about it more and I just pay such close attention to it. And I like the fact that you can hear music from Carousel of Progress. You can hear music from some of the old attractions that, again, were sort of anthems for what Walt Disney believed. He believed there was a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. He believed that now is the time. Now is the best time. I almost broke out in song. But so I'm going to I want to end off with the music of Tomorrowland. And look, if you haven't sort of paid close attention to it, go there and close your eyes and listen to the music and listen to the sound effects that they put in there. Listen to the sounds of the you know, the arms and the pneumatic of the, like, the tubes and stuff of the Astro Orbiter as it come down, and that clunk, 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 clunk of the TTA as it goes by overhead. Like, there is something about those mechanical sounds that I just find that's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just fun, and I dig it, and I love the background music, and that's all I got.
That's wonderful. It's all about the music.
It's all about the music. It's all about the music.
And when you're on the TTA, don't tell anybody, but take your shoes off and put your feet up.
Stop it.
Shh.
Would you do that? Would you? Let me ask you something. If you went to Walt Disney's house, would you take your shoes off and put it on the furniture?
If he did first, I would think Walt would be a take your shoes off kind of guy.
Do you? Like, if you went up, so if you went up to Walt's apartment in Disneyland, you just sort of kick back, open up a, you know, open up a Schlitz malt liquor and put your feet up. I don't know what you think. And a bag of Utz potato chips.
Should I get them all over my, you know, get them all over my shirt, make a little nest? No, that's horrible. Why would you say something like that?
Michael
Iceberg. Please keep your shoes on and keep your hands in the car.
Do you remember Michael Iceberg? You don't even know. Remember
who?
Michael Iceberg.
Michael Iceberg.
You don't remember Michael Iceberg?
Sure.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Whatever. So let me ask you this, Tim Foster.
Yes.
This is the question.
Tell me?
This is the question I have for you and for you, listener, my friend.
Oh, so it's not really for me.
It is for you, but I'm trying to help you. It's a
get out of this web.
Yeah, I'm trying to end this for you. This is easy. Is it? You can't. Dare I say, barring something catastrophic, you can't screw this up.
Hmm.
What's your favorite attraction in Tomorrowland?
Splash Mountain. See, you thought I couldn't see it. Are you asking me or everybody?
I'm asking you, but I'm also asking everybody.
I
care less about your answer than I do about the answers that I want to hear from the listeners, who, by the way, can answer by tweeting me at Lou Mangiello, by going to the comments at wdwradio.com and click on this week's podcast, or better yet, call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. Tell me, sing it, sell it, call me from tomorrow, call me on the TTA, even better.
Oh.
Those are the answers I care about. Tim Foster, just for fun, I want to hear yours anyway.
You know what would be a fun proviso on this? You can't say the TTA.
Why?
Because that's everyone's answer.
That would be my answer,
but that's too easy. Besides a TTA, favorite attraction in Tomorrowland. I think that's a.
But what if the TTA is not your favorite attraction?
Well, then you didn't really pay attention to the show then. But,
listen, I say this all the time. Stitch's Great Escape is somebody's favorite attraction.
Yours?
Close. It's a close second.
I would say, I'm throwing the TTA out. I would say, can I use a closed one or do I have to do a current one?
Yeah. Both. You can give me your current one, and then
I miss Timekeeper very much.
Don't we all?
Yeah, and I like Buzz. Why not? Because I cheated once and got my high score. So cheating means the ride broke down and I just shot somebody's eyeball for 20 minutes.
Nice.
I did go on the Tomorrowland Speedway. I made myself go not too long ago because it had been a long time, and I was scared.
You know that there's no chicken exit on the Speedway, right?
Nah, I tried to drive off through Fantasyland, but
yeah. Anyway,
it didn't work. So I just got out and ran.
So you know what? You, the listener, I want to know, what is your favorite? right? Does the beautiful music and the unique system of Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress, is that what you love? Is it the excitement of Space Mountain? Is it the interactivity of Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor? Or look, if it's anti-gravity's galactic goodies, then so be it. There is nothing wrong with that, saying that the lunching pad is your favorite attraction. If it is, there's no wrong answers. There's no wrong answers here. Again, call the voicemail, tweet me, comment on Facebook, whatever it may be, and then please do me and little Timmy a favor and go to celebrationspress.com. Timmy Foster, every time you're on, man, I think back and I smile to when we first started talking about this magazine, which continues to go strong in print and digital form.
Yes, and it's 7 years. I realize we're going into year number 7. We're going into year number 8. It's been 7 years.
It's been 7 years. You should be very proud. You and your team of writers and editors and who's ever doing the coloring work, using the crayons on the covers.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I needed help.
You're still going to have to post my my picture of the Tree of Life one of these days.
I've got it. You don't think I have it. I have it. And I share it with as many people as I can. And if I will, I do want to throw out there, we're coming soon. I got it coming soon for you. People may remember, may not remember, we did a Christmas book a few years ago, and then we did a second edition of said Christmas book, which is still available. Hardcover, 128 pages, beautiful pictures of the most magical time of year at the happiest place on earth.
How's Food and Wine Festival?
That's it. But by popular request, since we had done those books, we have in the works coming out this fall Halloween, the collectible Celebrations coffee table book. We're going to do Mickey's Not So Scary, scary movies from the Disney library, characters from the Haunted Mansion, going behind scenes of Tower of Terror, Rogues Gallery of the best Disney villains of all time, all things spooky and scary. Coming soon.
Dude, I dig that.
Yeah.
So. I dig it. And you know what? Can you, you know, you get that and the Christmas book. That makes a nice holiday gift right there.
Holiday gift. And more books in the works too. But I got to make sure I get one done before I start going. So but lots of goodness coming from
interesting
our land.
Interesting. I dig the tease, man. I dig the tease. We have to do this again. Dude, I've got a list of many, many, many things that we have to cover, including some that will continue to take you outside of your comfort zone. So I love Tomorrowland. I love the top 10 lists. Dare I say, I love you, Tim Foster. Thank you so much, buddy.
You're my homie.
You're the wind beneath my wings.
Love right back. I can't wait to TTA, sit on the, this is what you get in the TTA, the two of you. You sit on the same side. Don't take your shoes off, but your feet out, you arm in arm, you go through. It's like Small World, but in the dark. The Carolina nonstop, now departing Rocket Tower Plaza Station, far round trip to first Skyway Tour.
Time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of some of the details in the parks, resorts, not just that you can see, but sometimes even those that you can hear. And if you think you got the answer right, you can enter via email for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week, of course, the topic eventually, very quickly, turned to food, and we were talking about some of our favorite breakfast spots in Walt Disney World, and one of the ones that I mentioned was originally known as the Coral Isle Cafe, and so all you needed to do was tell me what restaurant was originally known by that name. Again, thanks to the hundreds of you who entered, got this one correct, and you either know and love your Tonga toast or your Polynesian resort history, because you know that the Coral Isle Cafe opened with the Polynesian on October 1st, 1971. It closed in July of 1998, and after a lot of renovations that were going on at the time, it reopened as Kona Cafe, and thanks to some of you who shared some of your memories and photos of the Coral Isle Cafe and the Papiette Bay Veranda, which eventually became Ohana. It was really cool sort of taking a trip with you guys down memory lane, but I had to randomly select one out of all the correct entries, and you were playing for all seven of my virtual audio walking tours of Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, and I'm also going to send you 102 ways to save money for not Walt Disney World, and just for fun, a WDW Radio Magic Band cover for your Magic Band for your next trip. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Audrey Edwards. So, Audrey, congratulations. Thank you guys for playing. If you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So, obviously, we were talking about Tomorrowland, and repeatedly, the Wedway People Mover / Tomorrowland Transit Authority came up in conversation, oftentimes in a very affectionate, nostalgic type of way. And so let's sort of test your knowledge or your Googling ability and your sense of nostalgia, because originally, when the Wedway People Mover opened in Tomorrowland and Walt Disney World, it had a corporate sponsor different than the one it currently has. So your question this week is to tell me, who was the original sponsor of the original Wedway People Mover in Tomorrowland in Walt Disney World? You have until Sunday, July 5th, to email your answer to contest@wdwradio.com. You have until midnight that night, or technically 11:59 p.m. Email your answer to contest@wdwradio.com. This week, I'm feeling generous. I'm happy. It's July 4th weekend, so you're going to get all seven of my audio walking tours of the park and 102 ways to save money for that Walt Disney World book, and a Magic Band cover. And because it's Tomorrowland, I'm going to send you one of the coveted Tomorrowland pins. So good luck and seize the future. And good luck. And have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. I just want to take a quick second to say thank you and tell you how much I appreciate you and the fact that you share and spend your time with me by listening to the show each and every week. It means so much to me, and I hope you are enjoying what you are listening to. Just a couple of quick announcements. Don't forget that in addition to the podcast, which you can find on iTunes, visit wdwradio.com for our blog, videos, free newsletter, free app for your mobile device, and community as well. I'd love for you to be a part of it. So whether you tweet me at Lou Mangiello on Twitter, or facebook.com/Lou Mangiello, or Instagram, Pinterest, same thing, it's Lou Mangiello. And I don't just mean to follow or like or pin or heart, whatever it may be, but really have some conversations online as well. I answer every tweet and every comment as quickly as I can, so I'd love to actually be able to connect with you there. But of course, you know, if you've listened to the show before, I believe that nothing beats a handshake and a hug. That's why I do monthly meetups in Walt Disney World every single month, as well as events on the road. Our next meet of the month is going to be Sunday, July 19th, from 4 to 6 p.m. over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I promise it's going to be inside in the air conditioning. We're going to do it at the Hip Joint in Restaurantosaurus. August 30th is going to be our meet after that. That's going to be a full day at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. So we just get together, hang out, ride some of the attractions, and of course, probably eat together while we're there. And then I'll have information about September and beyond. I'm also going to be doing some events and meetups on the road as I speak at conferences or schools or to businesses. The next one is going to be Sunday, August 2nd in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to be keynoting at Podcast Movement. It's also my birthday, so I thought maybe we would do a meetup sometime that night, probably around 7:30 or so. I will have information. I'll post it on Twitter and at loumangiello.com. And if you are going to be at Podcast Movement, I'm going to be hosting a one-day mastermind workshop to help you start or grow your podcast or build your brand or business. You can visit podcastersworkshop.com for more information. Or if you're not coming, but you still want to work with me to maybe turn your passion into your profession, go to loumangiello.com and click on the Work With Me tab. See how I can maybe help you there. And stay tuned for other events coming up, not just in Walt Disney World, but around the country as well. Quick thanks to Mouse Fan Travel. They are my official and recommended travel provider because it's who I use. They give you not just all the available discounts, but an incredible level of personal service, all at no cost to you at all. You can find them at mousefantravel.com. And of course, you know, Tim is over at Celebrations WDWRadioPress.com. Don't forget that if you want to help the show and be part of the WDW Radio Nation, you can visit WDWRadio.com/support. It is completely optional, but a great way for you to help the show and get exclusive rewards like monthly scavenger hunts, access to our private Facebook group, custom Magic Band covers personalized with your name on it, logo gear, backpack, shirts, care packages monthly from Walt Disney World, live video group calls, and lots more. And don't forget that a portion of the proceeds will go to the Dream Team Project to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation of America. Thanks to all of the new members, including Nathan Greenwald, Linda Raymond, Love Linda and Frank, Robert Behan, and Ankur Agarwal. Really do appreciate your support and your friendship. Again, wdwradio.com/support. And finally, my friends, and you are my friends, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Let others know about it. Tell your friends. Tweet out that you're listening. Share links to your favorite podcast over on Facebook. Comment there or in the show notes. And please go to iTunes, rate and review the show there. It is incredibly helpful to the show. Thanks to you, we have more than 1,000 reviews. Please keep them coming. Again, you can visit wdwradio.com/iTunes for a link and instructions on how to do it, or just search for WDW Radio in iTunes. And once again, thank you all so much for the permission and the blessing of being able to share my passion for Disney with you through the show and so many other ways. I could not do this without you, and for that I am so very grateful. And like Walt and Tomorrowland, I hope that you look forward to a better and brighter future. And remember, there's no reason to look back when you have so much to look forward to. And as Walt said, always keep moving forward. Thank you again so, so much. I hope you have an insanely happy, fun, and inspired and positive week this week. So until next time, love you guys. See ya.
Hi, Lou. My name is Amanda Riles. I've been listening for about a year now. I'm usually based in Tallahassee, but right now I am sitting abroad in Italy. Yeah, great food and all that stuff, but I get really homesick over here, and I have to say that your podcast helps me more than you probably realize. I grew up in the Disney area. We had season passes when I was a little kid, and we went all the time, and we actually went right before I came over here. And thinking about Disney reminds me of home and of my family and all of the really good times that I have. So I just wanted to let you know how much you help me while I'm over here and when I'm over here alone. So it makes you and everyone who calls in and the group, I've never been in any of the live chats because the timing doesn't work out, but all of the support that I feel like I get from all of you guys, even though I haven't met any of you, it really helps me not feel so alone and feel like there are people out there who make me feel good. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I was really hoping that the next meet of the month was going to be at the outside bar at Trader Sam's, because then I could actually go. But I guess I'll catch the next one that's outside of a park. So, well, I look forward to meeting you then. Good luck to everybody, and thanks a lot. Bye. You've got a friend.
As you exit, please stand on the dark area of the platform and watch your step. Thank you.